In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today as I proclaim the Word of God. Isn't it wonderful that we have a Pope called Francis? You must remember that the Lord said to Francis, "Rebuild my church," Francis of Assisi. "Rebuild my church because it is in ruins." And you know, it's really wonderful to see the Holy Father speak without a script. He's just preaching the Word of God. He's just not like anybody else. He's a shepherd, and he preaches the Word of God. He told the bishops, "Be merciful to the people if they come to confession. Be very merciful. Be very merciful, because God is mercy. God is mercy." Oh, yes. And he tells stories of what's happened in his ministry. He met an older woman, and the older woman, you know, had great faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, "Did you go to one of the great theological schools?" He was making a joke. She said, "No, it never went even to the 10th grade." He said, "You've got more faith than they do in the theological schools." I tell you, this Pope is for this time. He is for this time. Oh, thank God he is for this time. And we need to pray for him, and we need to pray for him some more. And we need to pray for him some more even after that. I'm looking at Isaiah 51. Listen to me. The first thing we have to do is learn to listen to the Lord. Remember, we have two ears and one mouth. Listen to me, you who pursue justice. Our justice comes from the Lord. Our justice comes from the cross. Our justice comes from faith in Jesus. You who seek the Lord, look to the rock from which you were hewn. The rock from which you were hewn? Oh, I know what he's going to say. Look to the pit from which you were quarried. Look to Abraham, your father, and Sarah, who gave you birth. I'm telling you, God is telling us that we are to look to Abraham and Sarah, who happened to be the ones who believed God first, and counted them as just. Oh, yes, look to Abraham and look to Sarah. Don't look at your circumstances. Look to Abraham, who believed God, that God called him 520 miles away from his home into Palestine, and Abraham went. That's all it says. Abraham went. This is the faith of Abraham. God is telling us, look to Abraham and look to Sarah. Have faith. Faith, 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 yes. Our faith is in God. Our faith is in Jesus Christ. Our faith is in the power of his cross and in the power of his resurrection. Our faith is as firm as can be when we trust the Lord. When we trust the Lord. Trust the Lord today. Trust him with all your heart. Trust him with all your heart today, no matter what's happening in your life. Today I just got a call from my brother, and he's in the hospital, and he might have cancer. I have to trust the Lord, and I'm asking you to pray for him today. Pray for my brother, Anthony. Pray that he comes to know Jesus, and pray that the doctors say it's not cancer, please. You see, I'm called to trust in the Lord today, and I'm called to look to Abraham and to Sarah, my mother and father of faith. Also, look to Mary. This Mary, I can't talk, I'm on the radio. Come up. Sorry, look to Mary, the woman of faith, the woman who trusted God, the woman who said, you know, "Let it be done unto me according to thy word." Look to Mary, look to Abraham, look to Sarah, Look to the people who had faith. Look to the people who had faith. Look to the people who trusted God, and God counted them as righteous. And I'm telling you, it's just like that today. We sometimes just don't trust God enough. We don't trust God enough. We just trust in ourselves, or we trust in our circumstances. We don't trust God enough. This is the time for us to trust God. This is the time for us to trust in Him with all of our hearts. This is the time to make a declaration of not independence, but a declaration of dependence on Jesus Christ as our Savior and as our Lord. Oh, Jesus, we don't want to be independent of You. We don't want to be independent. We want to be dependent on You. You who are Jesus Christ, You who died on the cross, You who rose from the dead. We want to be completely, completely in trust of You, for Your word tells me, look to Abraham, look to Sarah, look to the faithful ones, look to those that have been faithful, look to the people that have completely sold out to Jesus Christ. Look to those people. That's what the Lord tells us. And you know what? What the Lord tells us is true. He tells us it's true that we live by faith and not by sight. We live by faith and not by sight. We live by faith and not by sight. Just now, I just had to give some of my keys because my car got towed away during the storm. So I'm climbing stairs right now, and I'm out of breath. So we look to God. We look to Jesus. We look to Abraham. We look to Sarah. We look to those who, before us, put all their trust in God. Put all their trust in God. Trust in God today. Trust in Him. He will give you the desire of your heart. Trust in Him. Now I'm just jumping to Isaiah 51, verse 21. But now, hear this, O afflicted one. So the Lord knows how weak we are. The Lord knows that we are the afflicted one. Drunk, but not with wine. You know, drunk with sorrows. Thus says the Lord, your Master, your God who defends His people. See, I am taking from your hand the cup of staggering, the cup of suffering, the bowl of my wrath. You shall no longer drink. I will put it into the hands of your tormentors, those who ordered you to bow down that they might walk over you, while you offered your back like the ground, like the street for them to walk on. Isaiah is saying this, I'm taking away from you the staggering of suffering. I'm taking away from you the suffering that made you drunk, and I don't mean drunk with wine. But I'm putting it on those who tormented you. I'm putting it on those who hate you. I'm taking it off of you today. Thank you, Lord. And I'm putting it on those tormentors, and they are the ones that are going to suffer ultimately. We are the ones to trust God and to trust Him with all of our hearts. We are called to trust Him today with all of our hearts. And you know what? When I heard that my brother might have cancer, that's very difficult to hear. He's the only one that I have left. And you know what? That's very difficult to hear. I have to believe that God's going to work this out. And you know what? I haven't even had time to think about it or to pray about it. It's just, this is just something that the Lord is saying, you know, oh, afflicted one, drunk but not with wine, drunk with suffering. Thus says the Lord, your Master, your God who defends His people. See, I am taking away from your hand the cup of suffering, the cup of staggering, the bowl of my wrath. You shall no longer drink. I will put into the hands of your tormentors. Oh, yes, thank you, Jesus. And my tormentors are those evil spirits who wander through the world seeking the ruin of souls. That's who the tormentors are. He is the the tormentor. He is the one who tries to completely torment us. Listen, don't allow him to torment you today, but trust in the Lord. Trust in Jesus. He is our rock. He is our safety. He is our shelter. He is our Lord. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and commit your way to the Lord. Look to him that you would be radiant with joy. Don't look to me. Don't look to men. Look to him that you may be radiant with joy. And you say, you know, I have no joy. I'm having a very difficult time. Look to him. Look to Jesus. And we're going to see what Jesus did. And I want to talk a little bit about prophecy. Prophecy that looks into the future, and that's one type of prophecy. It's not always futuristic. But when the prophet receives the prophetic in the future, it seems to him that it's going to happen at this moment. In other words, I received a prophetic word several years ago that the world economic system was about to be destroyed. The world economic system was about to be destroyed because of the great debts that we have. Now, I received that in maybe 1997. It's happening now. We haven't fallen to the floor yet, but I'm telling you right now, it's happening. But when I saw that prophetic image, it felt like it was going to happen in the days to come, like 2 or 3 days. You get the taste of the prophetic, and you think that it's so for this moment. It's taken almost 10 years, more than 10 years, for these things to happen. Now, I don't want them to happen. I don't want to see the United States groveling on the ground with brokenness and with money problems. I don't want to see that. But, you know, we owe almost $17,000 in debt. Almost $17,000 $17 trillion in debt. $17,000 would be nothing. $17 trillion in debt. And, you know, if that happens, you know, we cannot keep on printing money. Well, the way we're solving it is printing, printing, printing. And the more you print, the less your dollar is going to be worth. You can see it when you go to the stores. You know, we used to buy butter, and I used to pay for butter $1.99 a pound at the market basket. Now it's $2.59 or $2.49, and everything has gone up. All the meats have gone up. I used to be able to buy a roast and have it ground for hamburger or for meat. I used to buy that roast, and it was only $1.99 a pound. Now, you know what it is? The roast is like $2.99 a pound. A whole dollar. It's gone up a whole dollar. So we are seeing that our dollar is worth less and less every day. Why? Because we are printing money. We are printing money. And God only knows where this is going to end. That's why our faith needs to be in Jesus Christ. No matter what happens to our finances, no matter what happens to our country, our faith needs to be in Jesus Christ. So I said that prophecy in the future looks like it's happening right now. I'm looking at Isaiah 52:13. See, my servant shall prosper. He shall be raised high and greatly exalted. It's talking about the cross. Even as many were amazed at him, so marred was his look beyond that of man, and his appearance beyond that of mortals. Oh, Isaiah is getting a look at Jesus after he was scourged, getting a look at Jesus as he was carrying the cross, getting a look at Jesus who was naked upon the tree. I'll read it again. See, my servant shall prosper. He shall be raised high, yes, on the cross, and greatly exalted. Even as many were amazed at him, so marred was his look beyond all of men, and his appearance beyond that of mortals, so shall he startle many nations. Because of him, kings shall stand speechless, for those who have not been told shall see those who have not heard shall ponder it. I tell you, the center of human history is the cross, burial, and death. The cross, death, and burial and resurrection of Jesus. I tell you that kings have stood speechless before Jesus. You know, kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but not Jesus. Oh, yes, every king, every kingdom will all pass away, but not Jesus. The kings will look at Jesus and be startled and be speechless. Who would believe what we have heard? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up like a sapling before him, like a shoot from the parched earth. There was in him no stately bearing to make us look at him. Exactly. Nor appearance that would attract us to him. Exactly. On the cross, you know, he looked more like an animal than like a person. He was spurned and avoided by men. That's, they all ran away. A man of suffering, accustomed to infirmity. He took our sins upon himself. One of those from whom men hide their faces. Yes. Spurned, and we held him in no esteem. Can you see that the prophet is looking at the crucified Jesus? He doesn't know exactly what he's looking at. Many Jewish people say it's all about Israel. No, it's not Israel. This is about Jesus. It is because it's his faithful servant, and Israel has not been faithful, and neither has the church. We've been faithful and unfaithful. Yet it was our infirmities that he bore. It was your infirmities that he bore. It was my infirmities that he bore. It was my brother's infirmities that he bore. Our sufferings that he endured. It was your sufferings that he endured. It was my sufferings that he endured. It was my brother's sufferings that he endured. Where? On the cross. While we thought of him as stricken, as one smitten by God and afflicted. Remember what they said? If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our offenses. He was crushed for our sins. He was pierced for my offenses and crushed for my sins. He was pierced for your offenses and crushed for your sins. Upon him was the chastisement that makes us whole, and by his stripes we were healed. Upon him, Jesus, was the chastisement that makes us whole, and by his stripes we were healed. This is the prophet looking at the crucifixion. He just sees what he sees, but he doesn't completely know what he sees, but he writes what he sees in the spirit, and he writes it as if it's going to happen in his day. But you know what? It took about 1,000 years for this to take place. We had all gone astray like sheep, each following his own way. That's what sin is all about. We had all gone astray like sheep, each following his own way. That's a good definition of sin, that we follow our own way, that we do our own thing. That's right. He was pierced for our offenses, crushed for our sins. Upon him is the chastisement that makes us whole, and by his stripes we were healed. We had all gone astray like sheep, each following his own way, but the Lord laid upon him the guilt of us all. Let me tell you this. Guilt is not of God. The guilt that leads to repentance is of God. The guilt that leads to more guilt is not of God. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. It was Jesus himself who took our sins upon himself. It was Jesus himself who took the chastisement that we earned upon himself. It was Jesus himself who took our sins, and he was crushed for our sins. It was Jesus himself who was smitten for our sins and afflicted. It was Jesus himself who didn't even look like a human being. It was Jesus himself that took all of our guilt. Oh, it was Jesus himself. We, like sheep, had all gone astray, each following his own way. But the Lord laid upon him, Jesus, the guilt of us all. Though he was harshly treated, He submitted and opened not his mouth. Not his mouth. Do you remember when Pilate said, "Are you the King of the Jews?" In John's Gospel, Jesus was absolutely silent. Absolutely silent. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, like a sheep before its shearers, he was silent and he opened not his mouth. Jesus opened not his mouth. Oppressed and condemned, he was taken away. And who would have thought any more of his destiny? When he was cut off from the land of the living and smitten for the sin of his people. You know, this is the loving God. This is the loving God who gives his life for us. This is the loving God who pays for your sins. This is the loving God who pays for my sins. He was smitten. He was broken. He was chastised. He was nailed. He was beaten. He looked more like an animal than like a person. Oh, but it was our infirmities that he bore. It was our sicknesses that he took. It was our affliction that he took. It was our affliction that he took. Jesus himself took our afflictions on the cross. Jesus himself became a sin offering for us. Jesus himself became a sin offering for us. We, like sheep, had gone astray, but God laid upon the Messiah the guilt of us all. We must be thankful today that Jesus himself took our sins upon himself, that he took our sicknesses upon himself, that he took everything upon himself. That's why we can pray for healing, because Jesus, by his stripes, we were healed, and that is in the past. By his stripes we were healed. By his stripes we were healed. By his stripes you were healed. All we like sheep had gone astray, and God laid upon him the guilt of us all. Father, I ask that in this miserable day that we're having in Boston, I ask that you would, in the name of Jesus, touch people profoundly, that you would heal the sick, that you would bless people, that you would do what only you can do. Father, we come to you not because we're good. We come to you because we look to Abraham, Sarah, and Mary, the people of faith. And we say, Lord, give us the faith of Abraham. Give us the faith of Mary. Give us the faith of Sarah. Give us the faith to do exactly what you call us to do, because you took upon yourself the wounds of the world. You were lifted up, and you said, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. You drew every single one who hears my voice today unto yourself. You did that on the cross. And I pray, God, that you would heal the sick today, that you would heal the sick today, that you would heal Dorothy's sister Jeannie, that you would heal my brother, that you would do what only you can do, Lord. That you would do what only you can do, because you are the Lord, you are God, and there's no one like you. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the gospel of Jesus. Today I had to do it on the phone, and I've been interrupted many times, so I'm sorry. I'm doing the best I can. I need to hear from you so that we can pay our bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Don't think that someone else is going to send something to us. It is you that help us. Please, I have been on the air for 29 years proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, and God has been faithful in all of his ways so that we can pay our bills. So please help us so that we won't have to keep on saying it. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. For your home lesson today, I want you to read the end of Isaiah 52, starting with the 13th verse, and Isaiah 53. I want you to read it through and see what Jesus has done for you. Then I ask you to read the 22nd chapter of Psalms. See what Jesus has done for you. Remember, it's all about having faith. It's all about having faith in the Son of God. It's all about having faith in the Son of God who gave his life for us. It's all about having faith. Please, place your trust in Jesus today. Place your faith in Jesus today. and God will give you the desire of your heart. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.